tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King Scott Angle, Wall Street Matt Modica. I'm Greg Sussman, who is quite happy this morning for, you know, more reasons than one. Not the least, the Detroit defense scored exactly 6 points last night, and I needed exactly 6 points last night. And here we are, sitting very, very pretty at 6-3, feeling good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good indeed. Mr. King.
Why? Because your team is up in the standings? Not all about you.
That's right. Oh, yeah. It's always about me, Funkhauser. What's up?
You know what? Matthew Stafford looked really good last night. We'll talk more about that as we look ahead to Week 10. Go to rotoexperts.com this morning. Check out Buy Low, Sell High from Inside Injuries. The waiver column from Joe Galina and Jake Steele's Buy Low, Sell High and Waiver Ranks. It's all part of your exclusive Edge in Season fantasy football package. Enter free radio checkout for a special discount with price lower than ever for your playoff push.
How about that? Lower than ever for the playoff push. Very good stuff right there, Scott Angle. How are you, sir? Mr. Matt Modica, Wall Street.
I am doing well, feeling strong today. I wish the season would end today. It would be very profitable for me.
Very.
Unfortunately, there's 4 more weeks of the regular season.
You got a lot of golf left, as my dad would say. A lot of golf left in order to try and make that cash indeed. And, you know, it's... I was thinking about it this morning, just like, man, if I could just get there, it would all be quite nice. Corey Parson, he's the fantasy executive. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much, sir. Present.
Okay. That's it. That's all you got.
Well, what else you want me to say?
I'm wonderful. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing good. I feel good. You know what I'm saying? Is Finn alive? Oh, my Lord.
Yes. Okay. You know what it is?
We got to get that filter back in there.
You know what?
Yeah.
You know what it is? When it's cool, because betas need a certain temperature, they won't do what they call play dead. They just stay still. So
somebody give them something to warm them up.
They actually make heaters for the ball.
All right, well, we're going to get Florio to go get one.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Yeah, it's
you're looking forward to today's baseball announcements. Aaron Judge will be named MVP today.
Not really. Not really.
What's he doing anymore over here? He's supposed to be in the corner.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jameis.
In the corner, buddy.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about Jameis Winston and the Bucks today. We'll also talk about the fact that A.J. Green's not suspended today.
That's crazy.
I don't know what you're doing, John Runyon, former Eagle John Runyon.
I think my speculative take on that is that, you know, with Evans, he was suspended because they actually played the rest of the game and let him play, whereas A.J. Green was ejected. He didn't get to finish the game. That's one speculative view that's out there. The other is A.J. Green came out and apologized, and his reputation, etc.
He choked the man out.
But I think
he said, I'm sorry?
I think
he does have a good reputation, but still, he should have been suspended.
Yes, I think the more solid one is one guy finished the game and the other didn't.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'll say this. That was a real cheap shot by Evans. But yeah, well, I mean, Evans, what A.J. Green was doing.
That was a blindside attack.
Evans should have got 2 games.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked. I'm shocked that
A.J. Green fell just short of Andre Johnson.
Homeboy, what's that?
Cortland Finnegan?
His helmet was off.
He was.
And A.J. Green was Andre Johnson was dropping them hammers on him.
Haymakers.
He put hands on him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do the Scott.
Hey, we're gonna take a break here. We're gonna come back with a little Monday Night Football. We're getting A.J. Green. Unfortunately, Brandon LaFell's no longer a thing.
It's not. He had a good week, too, against Tennessee secondary.
Yeah, A.J. Green's gonna go off probably.
I'm happy
this
A.J.
week.
Green's back.
Yeah, I'm not. We're gonna take a break here. We'll come back to a little Monday Night Football with you next on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Roto Experts. Corey, Scott, Matt, I am Greg. Last night, you had Monday Night Football. Detroit goes into Lambeau, defeats the Packers 30-17. Matthew Stafford had his way in this one, gentlemen. 361-2. The touchdown passes both go to Marvin Jones Jr. Marvin Jones had 7 catches in this one for 107 yards. And we've talked about Marvin Jones a lot and how reliable or lack of reliability he is. I know, Corey, you've spoken about how you never feel comfortable having Marvin Jones in your lineup, but you gotta give credit where it's due. He's pretty good.
He's been pretty good. He's had a good game. You know what I'm saying? So if you went back to Marvin Jones after he disappointed towards the end of last season, then you know you deserve to reap the benefits of this. He's playing well. Matthew Stafford is finding him, getting in the end zone. So I'm satisfied with Marvin Jones. He needs to do a better job of covering him.
Listen, Marvin Jones, each of his last 3 games, double-digit targets. Each of his last 4 games, at least 6 receptions. He has 3 touchdowns in his last 3 games, Scotty.
Yeah, and he's played well in his last 2 games at Lambeau Field. Like Corey, I was not on Marvin Jones, but good call by Matt Modica, who was really on him in the preseason. And it's become a perfect complementary receiving crew over there in Detroit. You have Golden Tate doing his thing, making possessions, catches, and one of the best receivers in the league with yards after the catch. And then Jones is the downfield guy and, sort of that guy in the red zone, too, and the big play guy. So they complement each other well.
That first touchdown,
yep.
That pass and catch was beautiful.
Beautiful.
It really was. That was that was perfect. And look, 14, 11, and 11 targets.
Mm-hmm.
He played against New Orleans secondary, the Steelers secondary. Okay, Green Bay, you want to sit soft. Oh, that's fine. But what he's been able to do, 96 yards, 128 yards, 107 yards. These last 3 weeks have been phenomenal for him. I was happy Golden Tate had a good game. I needed him in a couple of spots. And, look, it's kind of, if you're a Packer fan, it's what if.
Pretty much what if, of course, given Aaron Rodgers' injury. But you're right. I mean, Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, both getting it done. It was really, really cool about this one. The offense was able to sustain both of these wide receivers having successful games. Last year, so much of Marvin Jones' success came when Golden Tate was doing nothing. And then vice versa for the rest of the way in 2016. Golden Tate had 7 catches for 113 yards. He was second on the team in targets behind Jones with 11. I thought, Matt, they did a nice job last night, the Lions trying to get Theo Riddick involved early and often. He was on the field. First play of the second half, they got like 2 consecutive plays to him. Finishes with 4 catches for 62 yards. He caught all his targets. Riddick also rushed 5 times for 11 yards.
Yeah, no, the thing with Riddick is he needs to get at least 5 catches a game. In my opinion, you can still have Abdullah in there and him. They both need to be involved. And look, this defense has played pretty well for the most part this season. So this is not a bad team. So it's going to be interesting to see. The thing with Minnesota is, do they have a real quarterback that can get them to there? I think they're the best team if they have an adequate quarterback. But Detroit could take this division.
Yeah, Riddick's not a thing in fantasy this year. He has 82 receiving yards on the entire season. And yesterday was the first time this year that he had more than 4 catches in a game. So I just don't think he's a thing at all. I don't think he's rosterable.
Scotty, he had 62. If you say he had 82 receiving yards last year, 62 of them came last night on 4 catches. That's over 10 points in the PPR is what he had.
I'm sorry, 62 going into last. 82 going into last night.
And he had 62 last night. From what I saw in the game, they made a concerted effort to get him the ball a little bit. He was the third leading wide receiver on the team. I understand Marvin Jones going to their thing. When you're giving me on a week with 6 buys, you're giving me theoretically having 10 plus points in the PPR. I'm going to take that.
Yeah, well, the guy's only scored double figures 3 times this year, and 2 catches in a game before that. He's had 1 game with 2 games with 5 receptions. He hasn't gone up. Last night was the first time that he went over 60 yards receiving in any game, and he's not a thing rushing. So he had 1 long catch and run, and you don't take it away. But to me, schedule or not, I just don't think this guy's involved enough in the offense. You got the 2 wide receivers ahead of him. They really don't look for a third, maybe TJ Jones more than him. As long as Amir Abdullah is in there, I feel like he's not going to be a thing. So I disagree with you guys. I don't think the production's there.
Well, Jim Bob Cooter was stating that he wants to have both these guys in possibly in the backfield or more involved. And I think Riddick should get, like I said, he should walk away every game with at least five receptions. It makes his team better, makes his team more dynamic. We'll see if that continues.
I don't disagree with Matt that he should, but it hasn't happened.
And he's got Cleveland and Chicago.
Amir Abdullah last night had 21 carries in this game, only 48 yards. He barely averaged over 2 yards a pop. Did score the touchdown on like a 10-yard run inside the red zone. But listen, I don't know how many games, in all honesty, Amir Abdullah is going to get 20-plus carries. Like, this is not Amir Abdullah, in my opinion. That's why I'm not just getting rid of Theo Riddick. I think that this offense is better, as you guys really both stated, with Theo Riddick getting the ball about 5 catches a game. I understand, you know, last night it was all, a lot of that was on one long reception. I think he has his role in this offense. I really do.
I disagree with you. You know, as far as Abdullah goes, this is just his second game with 20 carries.
Exactly.
And, you know, Riddick still hasn't been that relevant. But as far as Abdullah goes last night, you know, he had the 4-yard touchdown run, but he also fumbled near the goal line. The guy was campaigning for more carries, you know, inside the goal line, and they gave it to him, and he had one, and he didn't. But, you know, I think he's not going to be exclusive goal line guy going forward. Riddick was not able to punch it in. Maybe they start going back to Dwayne Washington or Zach Zenner near the goal line. But 21 carries for 48 yards. This guy is probably the most least productive guy who's getting volume in all of fantasy football.
Yeah, I think he's more of like a, he maybe on an NFL, if you look at him for a pure football thing, they're going to try and use him in games to win divisional games. And he's got the 220 carries in both of them was Minnesota, Green Bay. So that's, look, if Matthew Stafford's going to throw the ball like that, the Lions are probably going to win.
Sure. Corey, nobody at this table was on Amir Abdullah. I know Matt was a little nervous about it, to be honest with you. He was saying, listen, I know Amir Abdullah, and that's one guy that I'm like, hey, I could see myself being wrong about this one. Amir Abdullah got the volume last night. He's gotten the volume twice, as Matt mentioned, twice in divisional games. They do have a bunch of divisional matchups coming up. What do you project for Amir Abdullah going forward?
The same thing that you expect from Amir Abdullah from the past. Him to be Amir Abdullah, who is not something that's very good for your fantasy football team. He's a body. He's a guy to put in your lineup. What he does for the Detroit Lions is basically the same thing. He's just a starting running back, but there's no real upside, no real touchdown potential, no real PPR potential. I mean, he's just like, he's legit just like, oh, like I could put him in my lineup. All right, submit. And if he happened to score 10 fantasy points, be happy.
Yeah, he's got double-figure carries in every game, at least 14 and 5, but he's only gone over 80 yards twice rushing.
He's not, I mean, he's just a guy, really. He's not that important.
And just to roll back a little to Marvin Jones Jr., he finished second this week among wide receivers in PPR with 30 points.
How safe do we feel throwing out Marvin Jones in fantasy leagues on a weekly basis?
I would feel pretty good.
I think you have to at this point.
Well, and that's a big step coming from you because you hate a Marvin Jones.
Yeah, but nah, he's getting work right now. He's getting work right now. He's looking well. He's playing well. Matt Stafford is finding him. I'm not a Marvin Jones guy. He won't be in any of my lineups. I'll win without him. But I'm just, you know, if you have him, I think I'm just about sure he's not a matchup play. He should be a weekly starter.
All right.
Yeah, he's got a touchdown or 100 yards in like 6 games already this year.
Who would you rather have going forward, gentlemen? Marvin Jones or Mohamed Sanu?
Marvin Jones.
Wow. You guys are really all answered very quickly there. That's so interesting.
I feel like there's more yardage possibility than there is. You get something of a floor with Sanu. You know, it's not irrelevant, but I think there's more statistical promise in terms of the yardage when it comes to Jones.
Yeah, I think it's he's been more of a deep down the field threat and stuff like that. Look, Sanu's been really good. If you have Sanu on your team, you're very happy. And the other thing from last night, look, Amir Abdullah didn't get the production you were hoping for on 21 carries. But only Elliott and Peterson had more carries this past week.
If you look at Jones's first 5 games, they're very Sanu-like, so I understand the comparison. But the last 3 weeks, he's had 96 yards at least or more in the last 3 games, and he's also scored 3 times over that span.
You know, it's interesting. You look at Marvin Jones, and I think the Golden Tate injury actually really helped him because it made Matthew Stafford be like, all right, I got to look at other people outside of Golden Tate here. And that kind of expanded to Marvin Jones. And not that Golden Tate missed any time because he didn't, right? He got hurt. Bye week came, and he was back a week later. But it certainly seems like they have refound that connection between Marvin Jones and Matthew Stafford, and specifically down the field, which I think is really, really big.
I think also, I remember in the offseason hearing that he was training with Randy Moss, and he knew he needed to improve on certain aspects of his game, because I had him last year.
Same.
After those first 4 weeks, I was like, marvelous Marvin. And then it was like a stock going to zero.
That's a good point, because you can see in his game, you know, maybe some things that he was taught by Moss. You know, the way that he goes up and gets it on the 50-50 ball.
I feel like everybody trains Randy Moss. Just like I feel like everyone trains with Hakeem Olajuwon. Everyone's training with these guys.
You're making a lot of money.
They certainly are. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about a team that Randy Moss killed quite a bit in his career. The Green Bay Packers. We'll do it next on the Roto Experts, sponsored by DX Racer.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
All righty then. When there's a winner, there has to be a loser. The loser last night, the Green Bay Packers, who fell, obviously, 30-17, like we said, the final score. Your boy, Brett Hundley, 245 yards passing. He did get into the end zone on a run. That was it
for Brett Hundley. He doesn't look good. The arm strength is very questionable. It almost looks like when he throws, like he's pushing the ball rather than he's throwing it. And in terms of like reads, like, you know, he's just not seeing open receivers. You know, I would not be surprised if they go to Callahan at some point if this keeps up.
I don't know that you go to Callahan. I mean, I think it was very telling earlier this week when they tried to acquire Brian Hoyer when he got cut. It's interesting because you read more about the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. It was basically a handshake deal. Listen, we will cut Brian Hoyer for you, so he can go back to you. And the Packers just sweep into the last moment to basically convince Brian Hoyer to sign, and he decided to be a backup in New England and a starter in Green Bay, because obviously he wasn't going to Green Bay to be a backup. And I found that very, very telling. So they can say all they want, we like the guys we have, but when you try to sign Brian Hoyer, evidently you didn't. So I don't know that they go to Joe Callahan. If they want to save this season, they need to go outside of the organization. I think we all know who we're talking about here. But they won't. They'll be stubborn like every other team in the NFL has been. I think they'll stick with Brett Hundley.
I think when he talks about his guys, though, he just doesn't say Hundley. He says we're comfortable with Hundley and Callahan. So if they're going to be stubborn and not go outside the organization, I agree with you. But I think if Hundley plays as bad, they're going to give Callahan a crack. It wouldn't surprise me. So I disagree with you there. As far as Kaepernick, it's not even a political thing. At this point in the season, you know, you're already into week 10. What kind of football shape is he in? He's got to get up to speed with the offense and the rest of the team. At this point, with Kaepernick, I'm like forgetting about it. I don't see it as a thing anymore.
He's still in shape.
I'm sure different he's still about in being shape, in physical but shape, but being in game shape and game conditions a different thing.
And also maybe he can step in. I'm not going to say he can't, but I think that's asking a lot of Kaepernick. Look, maybe it is the right situation, Green Bay, but I mean, I don't know. I don't see this team going there. What they did with Hundley early on was too many short passes too. Let the kid throw it up and stuff, but it's a sad situation in Green Bay. You know, when you have like one of the best players in the game and he's done for the year.
Brutal. Yeah, it's good for them. It's good for them, to be honest with you. It's good for them. You know what I'm saying? And it's what they're going through with Hundley is good for them too. I don't care if they don't win another football game the rest of the season.
Well, I'm sure you don't care.
Okay. I just want them to throw the ball at Devontae Adams.
So speaking of Devontae,
like you're talking
Adams
about the Giants. What is this with the Packers?
Devontae Adams should have laid out for that pass. Yeah.
Speaking of Devontae Adams, he led the team with 7 receptions last night, 53 yards. Also led the team in targets with 10. The problem, his long pass of the night was 9. The longest reception he had was 9 yards, which is kind of an issue.
Yeah, I don't think Hundley can really gun the ball down the field effectively. That's another reason why I wouldn't be surprised. At least see what Callahan can do. It's the longest catch run, and I'm sure you get to this with Randall Cobb. But you know that wasn't a long pass. It's all on the receiver. You know, maybe if they're going to adjust things, you know, maybe it has to be like Matt alluded to. It's got to be shorter routes, et cetera, and see what these receivers can do after the catch because nothing's happening downfield. I saw Huntley tried to throw one 50-50 ball, and it easily got tipped.
It's, you know, look, I mean, I watched that one play where, you know, Adams got the one hand on it, and, you know, you got to help this kid out, too. He needs a little help, obviously. He's been able to get a rushing touchdown each of the last two games. I mean, I really don't know. I think right now they're probably at least third. They're behind Minnesota. They're behind Detroit in this division, and it's not looking promising.
No, it's not looking promising, of course, with Brett Hundley at quarterback. But more importantly for us, what can we take away? We've been trying to figure this out for a while, and we kept saying, Matt, you and I, Scott, you and I as well, that, listen, we have to give Brett Hundley this game. We have to give Brett Hundley this extra week through the bye week, Monday night, to see what we have when it comes to the wide receivers. And as I said, Devonta Adams, 7 for 53. Randall Cobb, 5 for 58, including the 46-yard catch and run. Jordy Nelson, 4 for 35. Those are your big three. Those are the guys that you are counting on and want to count on. What do we make of that?
You got to forget about the names now. All of these guys, maybe outside of Adams, you know, at least for a bye week or whatever, or in a deeper league because that's the guy he's going to, they're all bench candidates right now. I mean, you look at Jordy Nelson's numbers over the last two games. How can you confidently start him, especially when you're trying to make a playoff push? You got to forget that the name is Jordy Nelson. I don't think you cut him, but I don't think you can start him right now.
Scott makes an excellent point. He really does because, I mean, the name value here is gone.
Nothing.
So, Adams, Nelson. And it's kind of like with the difference with the Texans is as long as Hopkins is going to get the 16 targets or so every week, he's still a very relevant person. Will Fuller, you got to hope that maybe he can win a jump ball or just beat somebody deep. But Will Fuller, who was, you know, scoring touchdowns on like every other catch, is now kind of an irrelevant guy as well.
Yeah, Jordy's got 5 catches for 38 yards over the last two games. And, you know, maybe that's better what Sammy Watkins can do.
What was he doing before Huntley got the job? When Aaron Rodgers came in, wasn't his numbers looking like that too? But does he just getting touchdowns?
Before Aaron Rodgers got hurt, and Aaron Rodgers was hurt in that Vikings game, I believe, right? He was hurt in the Vikings game. So before that, I'll go from the beginning. Against Seattle, 7 for 79 and a touchdown. Against Atlanta, he got hurt. Comes back, 6 for 52 with 2 touchdowns. Chicago, 4 for 75, 2 touchdowns. Dallas, 2 for 24, touchdown.
It was the touchdowns.
Yeah, he was.
But he was consistently scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, he was basically becoming the Devonta Freeman of wide receivers.
Sure.
Yeah, inside the green zone,
he's automatic.
Like 10. For last year, he had 9 of his, 13, 14 touchdowns inside the 10.
Sure.
Since he came back from that injury, he was a different receiver. Jordy Nelson used to beat you deep, run mm-hmm. down the field. There was nobody there catching bombs, and now he transcended his game.
Yeah, to Corey's point, he hasn't had over 80 receiving yards in a game this year.
Yeah, I mean, I just read you the stats with Jordy Nelson line by line, and ultimately he was touchdown reliant is what he was.
Yeah.
He was extremely touchdown reliant. You're not getting those anymore.
Yep. He was kind of like
another
Dez Bryant.
End.
Pretty much, Scotty. Yeah. And I think you, as Matt said, you kind of hit the nail on the head with all three of these guys. You strip the name away, you're playing matchups here.
But the thing you got to take away from it is like when a quarterback goes down, it affects, you know, everybody gets, you know, it's that ripple effect in Houston, in Green Bay. I mean, if Tom Brady went down, you know, it's all these things. And I'm hoping in Minnesota, off this bye, whether it's Bridgewater, whether it's Keenum, or I don't think Bradford's coming back, but I want somebody to get Diggs the damn ball.
Yeah, when the quarterback goes down, sometimes the backup can be good, but sometimes the backup might find a different favorite guy or something like that. You know, the backup doesn't always stink, but in a lot of cases, though, there is a drop-off.
Listen, this week, coming up in week number 10, Green Bay travels to their arch rivals in Chicago, the Bears, who have a very good defense, specifically at home. I'd be very, very nervous with all three of these wide receivers.
Oh, yeah, I would love to roll the Bears defense out this week, too, especially at home. That's an excellent streaming option right there. The top streaming option, I would say. Listen, it's going to get ugly. You knew this was going to happen when Aaron Rodgers went out, so you got to live with it now. Because, listen, these players have no value. You can't trade them. Nobody wants them. You know, you got to put them as a part of a deal with somebody else and try to hide them inside of a trade to get them off your rosters. But it looks, the thing about it is, for the most part, you got to keep sending these dudes out there. Maybe not Randall Cobb.
I got to love the team receiving last night.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just feel as if Cobb is like kind of, I think those numbers can, Cobb is the one I think is going to be inconsistent. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
The Nelson and Adams, it's hard to sit these guys.
Cobb only cracked the 60-yard mark twice this year, and that was in the first two games of the season. You don't take away a long catch and run, but I don't see any reason to really roster Cobb now either. In the game against New Orleans, two catches, 15 yards.
Listen, I don't know how. It depends on your other options, and I don't know what options you do have. But I can tell you that it is not going to be easy to start these guys. Like, I think you're going to have a conundrum each and every week, depending on who you have on your bench. And there's going to be games where ultimately maybe Jordy Nelson scores a touchdown, you're going to feel frustrated. Other than that, like, you look at this game, like we just did it line by line. Without the touchdowns, Jody's useless.
Yeah, and no, it becomes start or cut. It's very hard to start them based on the production, and you'll think it's very hard to cut them based on the name value. But I think, you know, Jordy's maybe the one guy. You know, really a conundrum because, you know, I'm going to cut Cobb if I have him.
Sure.
I just don't see any reason why I would start him going forward.
I think you
got to
do what Corey said. You got to try and put Adams or Nelson in a trade. And it's crazy to say that. You got to, like, try and hide these guys.
Yeah, you got
to
hide them.
There are some people out there will still see the name Jordy Nelson. They'll say, okay, you know, maybe something will turn around here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You tell the listeners, and you don't put name value on it anymore, but, you know, some people in other leagues, you know, might see something differently and still see the name value.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think when it comes to these Packers, just try to sell their names. I know I've had, in all honesty, I've had no luck selling the Green Bay Packer names in my leagues, but I hope your leagues are different. And I think the problem is, over the last 3 weeks, you don't have anything to build upon. Like, the only thing you're literally building upon is, hey, it's Jordy Nelson. Hey, it's Davante Adams. Hey, it's Randall Cobb. I mean, that's it. It's all you have. Because this entire stretch with Brett Hundley has been disaster.
But maybe you can trade Jordy for another receiver that's underperforming that somebody wants to get rid of, and maybe you feel better about him going forward.
Like who?
I'm going to grab some names. I'll have a list for you.
It's not that easy. That's the problem. Yeah. Is nothing comes to your mind because it's not that easy.
T.Y. Hilton, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, so T.Y. Hilton's the one that came to my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know who I'd rather have.
I think coming off the game,
T.Y. Hilton. At least Brissett will throw the ball up.
He will, but he's still, number one, he's still a bye with T.Y. Hilton. Number two, four out of his last six games are against the four best defenses against wide receivers in fantasy football.
Yeah, you got to hope for garbage time. Then, you know what I'm saying? But look, garbage time counts just as much as anything else.
Oh, yeah, it does. Absolutely.
Could you trade Jordy for Kelvin Benjamin?
No.
Okay. Kelvin Benjamin's trending up. You know? So, to me,
I'm still want to Jackson, see what Benjamin
maybe?
Does.
No. Not this week. Not this week going up against the Jets. He's number one target with Ryan Fitzpatrick out there. Mm-hmm.
Well, what I'm saying is, Corey wouldn't do it, and he's telling the listeners not to do it, right? And that's all valid, but maybe somebody would.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad ask. I don't think that's a bad ask, Scott. Yeah. So, the other thing that we were looking for when it came to Green Bay were the running backs. Ty Montgomery, Aaron Jones, who would carry the load? How much of the load would it be? So, did he last night answer any questions? I'll ask our guys that when we come back on the Roto Expert, sponsored by DX Racer.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Scotty, I want to ask you. You watched last night's game, of course.
Yeah.
What did you think? Going last, what did you think of Aaron Jones?
Why are we playing Wild Thing?
Especially guys, Charlie Sheen's in.
Oh, okay, all right, cool.
Charlie Sheen's over there. What did you think of Aaron Jones, Scotty?
There's nothing to think about Aaron Jones. It was like all of, you know, we were speculating, and like Matt was talking about, people saying cut Ty Montgomery.
Right.
You don't know where this backfield's going forward.
Well, I tell you what, after two games, he was pretty damn spectacular, wasn't he, Corey?
Yeah, yeah, no.
Oh,
I'm,
wow, traded, two games. He looked spectacular.
I
amazing.
I traded Demaryius Thomas for him, and his first game out didn't look too good, but I'm going to keep riding and rolling him out there. I ain't got no choice now. I bought in. But just the whole offense is just, ugh. And I'm happy.
but Jones did not look good. They looked, but it's easy to kind of draw it up against his team.
Yeah,
and
it is.
Stop the run. And, you know, let's see if Brett Hundley can beat you. So it really hurts Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones is very talented, but I think he's in a bad situation right now.
Yeah, it's brutal. Because you're able to stack the box against Green Bay and stack the box against Brett Hundley. There's nothing you can do. And you look at the numbers from last night. Aaron Jones, 5 for 12. Ty Montgomery, 5 for 33. Brett Hundley, 4 for 22, and a touchdown. Jamal Williams, Vultures touchdown at the very end of the game, which helped nobody.
Look, Aaron Jones.
Jake was playing him.
To me, was, you know, he did great versus Dallas. New Orleans has a great shutdown secondary. You can run on New Orleans.
Sure.
You can run on them. Those were the two games where he really popped. Now without Rodgers, I still think Montgomery was the guy that presents the best matchup nightmares for Green Bay, with the guy they want to use. Not that Aaron Jones would just go away, but, and then, I mean, now, what are you going to do?
Situation now is pitiful.
You're in a bad spot.
You're in a bad spot.
And look at the schedule next three games. Don't look too promising either for them.
Yeah, no, they got tough. They got, listen, these dudes are almost going to be, they're borderline benchable depending on how stacked. In 10-team leagues, I can see you benching some of these dudes. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely.
Some of these Green Bay Packer players. And, I mean,
actually, throughout the rest of the schedule, the run defenses they're going to face.
Listen, I mean, Scott hit on the nail on the head, like we said, with the wide receivers, right? Like, you're taking the names off it. When it comes to these running backs, now it's an even timeshare between Aaron Jones and Ty Montgomery. The matchups aren't good for Aaron Jones and Ty Montgomery. You are in a spot where these guys are flex plays. They are desperation plays. There is zero reliability when it comes to, let's be honest, any single player on the Green Bay Packers. There is zero reliability.
If I had to pick one, then I had to start him next week out of desperation, I might go Montgomery, because if they're going to stack the box, at least Hundley might throw them out of the backfield, or if they're playing catch up, they're going to throw to Montgomery instead of Jones.
Why would you stack the box against them, though?
What do you mean? Why would you stack
the
box?
Why wouldn't you?
Because they can't do anything.
They can't do anything if the box is not stacked.
Yeah, that's
not
true. No, Aaron Jones just had an 120-yard game.
Yeah, that's not true. Yeah. I think they want to stack the box.
I tell you, if you were able to buy Jarek McKinnon and win him on either in Fab or in the waiver wire, you got to be ecstatic. I think he's one of the guys that's really going to win people championships going down this road. Rest of the season.
So he probably could win people more championships than Joe Mixon will, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I would. It's not even in the same conversation of who I'd rather have.
Yes, of course. And I'm
what if you start McKinnon and Mixon, though? It's Mixon's giving you about a good 10 to 12 a week.
The problem this week with Mixon was they had 37 offensive plays.
So I believe the least amount in the NFL this year, I believe.
You know what's saving it to him? They're throwing him the ball out of the backfield, though. He's getting catches.
Yeah, no, I'm not trusting Joe Mixon whatsoever.
I would want to have Mixon for the fact that, you know, Jeremy Hill, whatever, he had the ankle. Gio Bernard is no longer in this offense.
No.
He had two touches this week.
This offense is 100% Joe Mixon's offense.
And he ain't doing nothing with it.
and he ain't doing nothing with it.
He's giving you a floor of about 9 to 12 points a game, you know.
Look, I mean, I
that's good for your bench.
I mean, as a flex, look, I'm going to see if it's his backfield and he's going to get the volume, just on volume alone, and they don't run 37 plays, they run a normal amount of plays a week. He's going to be profitable for
him. Listen, I'm just as I said yesterday. When it comes to Joe Mixon, as I kind of said yesterday, what really concerns me is sustainability. Like, you look at the last two games rushing, the whole season rushing. Let's be honest with you, right? Nothing. There's nothing here. 7 for 48 against Pittsburgh. Talk about after the bye. 7 for 48 against Pittsburgh. 11 for 18 against Indy, and then against Jacksonville and Marshall Darius, 13 for 31. That's pitiful.
Nah, he's not getting it done. It's quite simple. But we knew the offensive line was going to be poor coming into the season. But he just doesn't look like he's running that well either. I've seen Jeremy Hill get some yards behind that old line. Understanding spurts and stuff like that. He's not playing good football now.
He's a bust on expectations. But if you look at the last six games, he's a suitable flex play every week there. 13.1, 8.8, 11.1, 9.8, 12.9, and 13.6. If that's your flex option, I mean, are you not happy with
he
that?
He has 284 yards rushing on the season.
I understand that. I'm looking at points every week.
I have no problem playing Joe Mixon.
He's catching some passes.
I have no problem playing Joe Mixon.
Marshawn Lynch got more rushing yards than him.
No problem playing Joe Mixon in the flex at the right time, in the right matchup. But he's not a guy
I'm just saying
not a guy I'm locking and loading in my lineup.
Yeah, I don't think he's completely useless, but he is a big disappointment, but he's not completely useless.
I agree with that, Scott.
Preseason expectations to current, day value, yes, this is very disappointing from what I expected him to be.
Yeah.
Over 11 points in each of the last three games, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you get a guy that's rushing for 100 yards and not scoring any touchdowns, that's the kind of the kind of numbers you're getting. So he's not completely useless.
Yeah, argument why I wanted Mark Ingram over Howard or Ajayi rest of the season a couple of weeks ago. Because if Howard runs for 120 yards in a game and doesn't score a touchdown, that's 12 points.
Yeah.
Ingram can get you that on just the pass catching and the yards alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to run the ball and possibly get touchdowns as well.
And with Joe Mixon playing all of these snaps,
Dalvin Cook got more rushing yards than Joe Mixon.
The points are there, though, like Matt's saying, though. Like, he's not completely useless. Like, if you're getting 10 to 11 points every week, and then he breaks off a long run or he gets in the end zone, he had
if
a big catch
starting,
and run.
CJ, if you're starting Joe Mixon and you're flex every week, you're probably on the playoff bubble.
I agree with that.
And you know what, though? That's fair. He's not a slam dunk play every week, but he's not completely useless.
It's going to be interesting because I heard Cincinnati, the coaches saying we have to get the ball to the right people, some kind of asinine thing like that. Basically, three people should touch the ball in this offense: AJ Green, Joe Mixon, and Tyler Croft. That should be it.
You didn't really need to include Tyler Croft on that.
They let
56 yard catch and run this week.
the tight end is a viable spot in this offense, especially
in the red zone.
Yeah, in the red zone, but all quarterbacks need a tight end.
It helps.
It really does. That's a safety valve and stuff like that.
Maybe Green Bay and Brett Hundley should utilize their own tight end and Lance Kendricks a little bit more. He had just two catches for 32 yards. Marty B missed this game with an injury.
Yeah, I think he said he was retiring at the end of the year. Maybe he should just retire.
Maybe he should not bother coming back.
Marty?
I know what you have against the Bennett brothers, Greg.
I love the Bennett brothers.
Okay, just making sure.
Specifically, Marty. Big fan of Marty. Black Unicorn, man. Yep. Big fan of Martell.
You should have something against
I don't have
Michael,
anything against
though.
Michael Bennett.
I like Michael Bennett.
I don't have anything against Michael Bennett. I just like Marty. He's a former Giant, man. I'm a lad. Guys, final thoughts when it comes to Week 9 in the NFL. Go around the table. Corey Parson, Fantasy Executive.
Survive in advance. That's all you can do. Six teams on bye. We got through back-to-back weeks of six teams on bye. Survive in advance at this stage of the game. Now, we got another four teams on bye next week. And then you have Mike Evans, he's a tremendous. I mean, Mike Evans versus the Jets at this time of the season is one of the reasons why you drafted Mike Evans.
Sure.
And now you don't have him. That's a major, major blow for next week.
Yep, that's like his second bye this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott Engel, your week 9 final thoughts.
I'll reiterate this again, and Corey often does overreaction Monday on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. Don't get into overreaction Friday. I heard from so many people that they were down against Tyrod Taylor on Thursday night, and I didn't even sweat it. I came back and beat the other team, and I know other people that did it, so don't ever react to Thursday.
I did it too. I did it too, Scotty. Thursday I came in here. I didn't think my matchup was over, but it was frustrating. I was frustrated having seen Tyrod Taylor put up 26 plus points against me, all in garbage time, and it sucked. And the team, and I've said this on the air before, the BFFs, the team I played was the worst team in the league. And the only time he put up over 100 points was against me. He had the most points in the league going into last night. And I won by 0.5 or whatever.
Yeah, it was my dynasty league. It's like I had Stafford going last night, so it didn't end up not mattering.
Yeah.
For me, look, we finished 9 weeks. There's 4 weeks of the regular season left in fantasy.
Crazy.
You're not at, if you're 4-5 and stuff and all that, whether you play
in the mix. Back,
you're in the mix. Don't give up. Things change rapidly every week as we see.
100%. You know, you were in the mix, sitting here at 4-5, 5-4. You know, I look at my particular league, the important one here. It's all very crunched together. Seven teams are 5-4 and better.
Yeah, no, I mean that's the parody in fantasy football.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing. To Corey's point, my dynasty league, I started 1-4. Right, I'm now 5-4, and I'm in second place because there's 6 5-4 teams and I have the most points.
Yeah, there's that many 5-4 teams throughout the fantasy landscape, and that parity makes it fun the next 4 weeks.
Another point, never give up. Started 1-4, now 5-4.
We'll take a break. We're going to come back here and kind of give us some more week 9 wrap-up thoughts, get all the headlines as well as we look forward to week 10 coming up about 10 minutes from now. So what are experts? Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts presented by DX Racer. A couple of things I wanted to do before we wrapped up hour number one. We were talking a lot about Seattle, Scotty, during the break. Seattle, of course, plays Thursday night this week against Arizona. It would be fair to say that you will not be here Friday.
I'll be here Friday. I'll wake right up and just hop right on the subway. So
there you go. Yeah. So
spend the night here.
No, Scotty's going to take a long siesta Thursday afternoon.
I'm not getting evicted.
Spend the night here.
Where am I going to sleep?
We have an air mattress.
Sleep on the, it's an air mattress on the fourth floor.
Security will come and say you can't do that.
No, you're not.
Yeah. It's already happened about me and Corey.
When it comes to Seattle, we were talking a lot about CJ Pro tonight. Pete Carroll expects him to play on Thursday. Certainly looks like Thomas.
What?
That's what he said.
That's amazing. They playing flag on Thursday night? That's the only way he's going to play, if they're playing flag.
Believe
no,
is
Corey.
Says we'll Corey Thursday.
Mad.
He'll at least look good in the color rush uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love those uniforms.
Yeah, he'll play. It looks like Thomas Rawls will get the start. And it's funny, I saw a Roto World headline that, like, oh, Thomas Rawls finally looked good. He may be a good pickup in 10 to 12 team leagues. I'm like, well, how are we doing this thing again, man? Are we really doing this Thomas Rawls thing again?
I can see why they said it, because he ran better than he has all season. He was breaking tackles, et cetera, you know, catching some passes out of the backfield. But, you know, they stopped handing him the ball. I think if ProSize plays, I think it's a share timeshare between him and ProSize.
Do you think either are fantasy relevant?
I think ProSize is worth rostering in the long shot event. I think somehow he can stay healthy for 2 to 3 games. I think Rawls may be a desperation sort of play. I wouldn't want to roll any of these either of these guys out here in week 10 if I had to.
Adrian Peterson, over or under 75 yards?
Under.
Yeah, I don't really like AP going forward this Thursday either.
I don't like him either this week, but you know what? I'm not going to put anything past him. He's going to probably get another, you know, 30 carries again.
I think when you watch Peterson, it's like he's showing he can exploit a good matchup. But then again, you just never know what you're going to get because we thought he had a good matchup 2 weeks ago and he didn't deliver.
Yeah, it was really just that simple.
You just don't know what you're going to get. It's almost like boom or bust with Adrian Peterson. I just don't think against that front seven he's going to do much.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Arizona, listen, I'm gonna spotlight. I don't know if I'm going to start in the league. Again, it's Tuesday. I'm not making lab decisions. But I don't know if I want to start Larry Fitzgerald against Seattle or I want to start Devontae Adams against Chicago. Like these are decisions I'm going to
have. You should
text
Jake right now and see what he wants to do.
I would start Fitzgerald over Adams because if they roll Fitzgerald to that non-Sherman side of the defense, you know, we've seen all year that guys can put up numbers.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna have to think about it, to be perfectly honest with you, Scotty. We'll have those conversations later on this week. I don't want to do that now. Another thing I found kind of interesting here, Corey, that's already been announced for that has to do with last week, has already been announced for this week. It's the fact that Brock Osweiler will once again start for the Denver Broncos here in week 10.
Yeah, good luck.
The Patriots defense.
Good luck. You know what I'm saying? You know what the Brock and Chips are all about. So, you know, like Scott said, stream the Patriots. Well, you may not want to stream the Patriots defense.
They played better the
you
last
never
few
know.
Weeks.
Brock Osweiler might light the Patriots up.
Yeah, the Patriots have played better the last few
weeks. If you watch
weeks.
Sunday Night Football, Mike Florio, not our Mike Florio.
Yeah, the real Mike Florio.
He was saying that in his second start the previous time with the Broncos, he improved. So if you want to go off that kind of a narrative.
Yeah, they're just clearly waiting for Paxton Lynch to be ready to rock. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll hit the suspensions. AJ Green, Mike Evans. Coming up 7:10. Put a little Josh Gordon. And if it matters, we'll do it all when we come back on the Roto Experts.